Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, where we want to give you tips on staying healthy and even expose common myths about health and aging so you can enjoy a healthier and active life in the amazing South Sound. Brought to you by Dr. Jennifer Penrose, owner of Penrose & Associates Physical Therapy.
Hi, welcome to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast. My name is Dr. Jennifer Penrose, owner of Penrose & Associates Physical Therapy. And today I want to talk to you about a rise in knee pain since COVID started. Now, we have been kind of in, I guess, quarantine, if you will, of sorts since mid-March. So it's been several months of social distance, masking, and being selective about where we are going and what we are doing and with whom. And this really caused a lot of disruption for many of us, myself included, just our normal rhythms, our normal structures, our normal days, where we work, where we work out. For a while, gyms were closed, and some are still very limited at this point. So what started to happen, as you can imagine, is a couple different reasons why I saw increase in knee pain hitting my clinic, whether it was via telehealth or whether it was in person. One reason was people decided they were really going to up their walking program because the weather was definitely getting nicer in the spring and summer, and they didn't have access to their gym and they could keep social distance and keep close to home. So there was a good increase in some people for walking that was considerably more than what their body was used to doing. Another group, very similar, increased their running all of a sudden because they couldn't get to the gym to do their strength training and cardio there. So they just put on their shoes and run out the door. So those two are very similar in the sense that most of them were not conditioning for that and did more than they should have out of the gate, and along with some other things that I'll talk about. And then the third reason that I saw an increase in knee pain in our community was some people really had increased sitting. So people that were normally at work and going to meetings and walking, you know, to and from things in their buildings, they're suddenly at home and just walk 5 feet to wherever their computer is and are sitting at home working. And so they had a considerable decrease in the amount of steps and movement during their day. So that one more of a camp of being too sedentary. So those were kind of the three different camps that I saw. But all of those, there's some variations within them. And I want to go over some things that you can do at home to somewhat problem solve your knee pain and bring some of those issues to light of what causes it, what you can do about it, and when you need help for it. So first of all, whether you're going to be doing some more walking or running, definitely inspect your shoes. I think many times we just don't think about that as a potential cause for our pain. But I will tell you, lately, I've been looking at a lot of shoes. And since shopping has been difficult during COVID, I think people may have put that item off. And so the shoes, when you look at the bottom of them, try to see where you're wearing down. Usually it's often the outer corner heel of your shoe. So then that means you're walking or running on a beveled surface. So it's time to replace them. If the tread looks smooth in certain areas, that means where you're putting more stress and breaking down your shoe and may give you a clue to an area of the body that you're wearing out. So really look for those uneven wear patterns on the bottom of the shoe and make sure to replace your shoe when you're seeing the tread wear out. You can test your shoe by bending it. So if you pick up the shoe and you have one hand at the heel, one hand at the toe box, and you bend the toe box area, and you can easily bend your shoe in half, then that shoe is not a great shoe for lots of impact and steps. You want that shoe, when you bend, just to bend in your toes, like when you walk in that area, not in the arch area where you can, if you can fold your shoe in half pretty easily, that tells me it doesn't have enough support. to do impact. And so I often show people that test in my clinic. I'm sure there's a YouTube video on it at this point of how to test the integrity of your shoes. So make sure you're selecting the correct shoe for your walking and running and that they're not wearing out. So that's a pretty basic one. The other thing to do is just inspect your structure and your posture. I think the longer I'm a therapist, the more I realize people, I think, are somewhat aware they might have different knee shapes and different leg shapes and different foot types than other people, but that means something for you and for any issues or pains that come along your way. For instance, if you stand and you put your feet all the way together in standing and you can get two fingers width between your knees, that's a fairly straight alignment for your lower legs. That's good. If you can get no fingers between your knees when you stand like that, your knees come together before your ankles do, then you have what's called a little bit of a knock-kneed posture or alignment. And that can create some issues for knee pain. And it just gives you a bit of information of awareness of that, and that you should be trying to strengthen your hips even more so in terms of pulling your knee more outward. So we call that hip external rotation. But things that strengthen your hips to help with the alignment of your knee to the extent that you can. Because I'm not going to promise you can change your structure, but you can influence your structure by the shoes that you choose to wear and the exercises that you choose to do to help. And then conversely, if you're standing with your feet all the way together and you can get three or four finger widths in between your knees, you have more of that bow-legged posture. And that has different implications as well, because a lot of times those people are walking more with more weight on the outer border of their shoes, and it does affect the knees. So it has a way of wearing down your knee joint unevenly. So if we can help influence those stresses of your structure by the right shoe or the right insert, the correct exercises, it will help you stay mobile, walking or running for longer with less pain. So I just would like to highlight that because I don't know that everybody thinks about the implications of their body type and their body structure, that it has some bearing on activities. So we look at that in the clinic and then we help formulate a plan that will work to influence things to just make the mechanics better at those different joints. Same with your feet. If you're standing there without your shoes on and you're looking down at your feet on the ground, can you see a little bit of an arch underneath the inside of your foot, or are you pretty flat? Are your feet very, very flat to the ground, no arch? So when you're arch is really flat, it kind of pulls your knee more to the inside, and that is more stressful. So you definitely, if you have that foot type, need to have a little bit better arch support in your shoes. Conversely, if you have really high arched feet, you tend to have stiff feet. And when you're stiff and you're landing on the ground, you don't always absorb impact very well. It goes up the chain, meaning up the leg somewhere will have to absorb that impact because the arch doesn't come down at all or very well. So it's not doing its fair share of absorbing shock. So other tendons and muscles and joints will need to do that. And that could be a cause of people's pain, whether that's shin splints or tendonitis, knee pain. I mean, it can happen in different places for different people. So it's just something to be aware of, that your structure does influence pain that you're having. So another thing that you can easily look at too is just your hip strength, because your hips really help support those knees. So if your knees are hurting, it's definitely worth looking at those hips a little bit more. So when you go from a seated position to standing, and when you go from standing to sitting, watch if your knees kind of come together a little bit during that movement, or like a squat. If your knees go in together, then your hips are weak. And those hips need to be strong to keep you in alignment when you take a step, when you're walking or when you're running, and not let the knee dive to the inside. So it's just a simple thing you can kind of look at. Same with balancing on one leg. You should be able to balance on one leg without wavering really much at all, with very minimal effort, for at least 10 seconds. If that's a challenge for you, which it often is for my clients that are 50 plus, that's something they just need to work on. Balance is one of those use it or lose it things. It definitely is important that we have balance as we get into our 50s, 60s, and 70s so that we minimize any falling. So, and it also tells you if your hips are weak, if you have a really hard time with that. And if you're having knee pain, that's something, you know, if the balance, if you can't practice your balance exercises or balance routine that you typically do, another good reason to get help for your knee. As for the last thing that is helpful, when you walk, you want to kind of make sure you're not taking huge strides. So I think people think when they walk quickly to take a big stride is the way to do it. And when you stride out, it does put more force on the knee. So instead, take smaller steps, but turn them over quicker. So we call that cadence. So beats per minute, like a metronome, if you have ever used a metronome before, figure out what your cadence is naturally when you go walking, and then try to increase that by just a little bit, just week by week. Don't make a huge change or you'll just frustrate yourself. But if you increase your cadence with walking and even with running, you really can decrease the amount of ground reaction forces to the joints. And so for walking, you know, between 50 and 60 steps per minute, that's kind of a slow casual walk typically. And then 60, 70 is kind of a medium. And then above that would be, you know, 70 to 80, like a brisk cardio race walk. And so just see where you're at and then try to increase it a little bit each week. And I think you'll be surprised that that can take some pressure off your knees. And then for runners, same thing. When I videotape them and we figure out what their cadence is naturally, we just increase it by just 5%, just a little bit, so that they can work on, when you increase your cadence, you don't overstride. So it takes that stress off the knee. And many runners have been just really thrilled that that took away quite a bit of their symptoms. So it definitely is something that works. There's a fair amount of research on that. So something that you can do right away on your own. There's lots of free metronome apps on phones. And gait is one of those things that if you're really struggling with knee pain, we like to do a video analysis of your walking and then play it back in slow motion from behind you and from the side view. And that really can help you see when you overstride and what you're doing with your knees and your hips and your feet and your posture. And we can really zero in on a couple things that might be contributing to your pain and then set up your plan for your exercises to help accordingly. And then later on, recheck video again to see if you're making progress with that. So that's been extremely helpful with our knee pain patients. All right, now we're just going to take a little break to hear from our sponsor.
As a listener to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, we are offering a free paperback copy of Jennifer Penrose's new book, Run Forever: The Secrets of Common Running and Walking Injuries. When you become a new patient and complete a plan of care at Penrose Physical Therapy. To get started with Penrose Physical Therapy, contact us at 360-456-1444. That's 360-456-1444. Or online at penrosept.com. And now, back to the show.
Okay, so we are back from our little break. And now I want to talk a little bit about a story, a patient story that we had, because I think hearing a patient story is often helpful to put things into a relatable form. So we had a patient, and we'll call her Cindy. She actually didn't start jogging and running until her 40s, and more of a walk-run situation. And she increased along, and then in her 50s, she started having some pain in her knees and generally a vague kind of feeling of discomfort in the inner knee area. It hurt more with running, climbing up and down stairs, or prolonged sitting with the knees in a bent position at a desk, and then pain when getting up from a seated position if she'd been there a while. She also kind of reported sort of like a tightness or a fullness in the knee area. So those were kind of the things that were going on. And what we found with her is that she, on her video analysis in particular, kind of wanted to highlight that, is that when she ran and we played it back in slow motion, we could see from when standing behind, you could see like a scissor pattern, right? So one foot lands and then the next foot crosses almost over. So almost like you're walking on a balance beam, but running on a balance beam. We call that like a scissor pattern instead of staying with the feet, you know, 4 inches or so in between. So that scissor pattern increases more pain and stress along the knee. And then the other thing is she would overstride. So getting that heel strike way too far out in front of her. So when we increased the cadence gradually and had her run in front of a mirror so she could see what her legs were doing, she could match the metronome, and that increase in cadence didn't allow her the time to overstride. So she fixed that fairly easily with that method. And then having her working on her hip strength and just with the mirror feedback, she could see how to keep herself from scissoring when she'd run. So, and at first she thought it, she said it felt like she was trying to run bow-legged because, you know, anytime you make a change like that, it does feel really awkward. She also worked on getting her hips stronger to help pull her knee a little more out. And that also helps prevent that scissoring. And there were lots of balance activities that she did to help her hips stay strong and to work on that knee staying right below the hip and not diving to the inside, if that makes sense. So things in front of a mirror, feedback from us, and looking at her structure. She did have a little bit more of knocked knee presentation. So we kind of went through what she could do for that in terms of exercises and footwear. But hopefully that gives you a little idea of just how we look at a person with knee pain and the things we can provide to help with that. One thing that I get asked a lot with knee pain, people have an assumption that if you run, you're going to wear out your knees and cause arthritis. And really, that's not been founded in the literature. Really, it's a matter of if you try to do too much and you're not training for that. Our bodies are really good at adapting to stress as long as it's gradual. So for instance, someone who hasn't been running for months and decides to go run for 4 miles, okay, now you stress those joints. They weren't prepped for that. They weren't ready for that. But someone who's been gradually increasing their mileage, even if they're running, you know, 50 miles a week, they really, because they did it gradual, their body acclimates to that. The joints are fine with that. The strength is building up. The endurance is building up. So it really has more to do with, so those of you that are weekend warriors that like to really go out and pound it hard on the weekends, but yet during the week, you aren't doing much in terms of conditioning, strengthening, and impact to the joints, and then you hit it hard on the weekend. That actually is worse for the joints than having kind of a consistent buildup. I mean, your weekends can certainly have your longer runs, your longer activities of impact, but if you're not conditioning throughout the week, that may actually cause more harm than good. So the consistency is what's key, is what they found with looking at that. So one of the best things for knees really is to develop a routine where you're strengthening those hip muscles, those thigh muscles, because those, your muscles are your shock absorbers for your joints. So when you walk up and down the stairs, if you don't want the joint to hurt, then you need to have the strong muscle support to absorb those forces. So there's an investment on your end for time to spend to strengthen those muscles so that your knees don't hurt when you go for a walk or when you run or when you go up and down stairs or squat down to pick things up. So a good strength program. The other thing I often see is people don't want to take the time to stretch. And anytime you have tightness in an area, it will eventually lead to pain. And I think most people identify with this. You know, you think of any kind of mechanical gears or what have you, and you have stress applied to it, pulling on it and stressing it, it wears out. Well, our bodies are the same with the joints, that if you don't take the time to stretch and that tightness keeps pulling on that joint, it is stressed to that joint and it starts to degrade. That's how the best way to explain it. So flexibility is key to those joints being healthier and in better condition. Yes, all of us are going through aging and all of us are aware that our bodies are wearing out. We can look in the mirror and see more wrinkles and more gray hair. So it does lend itself to, well, inside, internally, our organs and our joints and muscles are changing and wearing out. And so what can you do to give yourself the best chance of living a life that is mobile and independent and with the least amount of pain? So finding a routine for strengthening and stretching is pretty key. And I think most people are aware that walking is so critical, especially as we get older. I mean, the research just keeps coming back validating the walking. You know, it improves your heart rate, lowers blood pressure, it strengthens the heart, it wards off heart disease. They found that postmenopausal women who walk just 1 to 2 miles a day can lower their blood pressure by nearly 11 points in 24 weeks. Women who walk 30 minutes a day can reduce the risk of stroke by 20% and by 40% when they stepped up the pace. And this is according to researchers at the Harvard School of Public Health in Boston, which I'm sure we all respect that Harvard school. So it is vital to really stay moving, and walking is really good for your body. The other thing it does, it can stop the loss of bone mass for those with osteoporosis. One study found postmenopausal women found that 30 minutes of walking each day reduced their risk of hip fractures by 40%. So, you know, I meet many people who are used to running and for one reason or another are having to do more walking, and they think it's a waste of time. It's not. And hopefully these statistics prove that to you. You can enjoy a longer life with a walking routine. Research finds that people who exercise regularly in their 50s and 60s are 35% less likely to die over the next 8 years than their non-walking counterparts. And the number shoots up to 45% less likely for those who have underlying health conditions. So walking is key. You know, use those apps on your Fitbits, your smartphones, and track your steps. It's really important. There's a reason why all that data is everywhere and why 10,000 steps is the magic number. It's based on the data and the science. Walking will lighten your mood. Walking releases natural pain-killing endorphins to the body. One of the best emotional benefits of the exercise. A California State University in Long Beach had a study show that more steps people took during the day, the better their moods were. So I'm all for that. And right now with COVID and just all the negativity that's going on, we could all use something to uplift our mood. So hopefully you'll commit to walking for several different reasons. A brisk 30-minute walk burns 200 calories. So it can really help losing weight as well. It's strengthening your muscles. You're engaging your core when you walk. So get those abdominals going and your arms if you pump them when you walk. So it really does help to go for a walk. It improves sleep. How many of you struggle with sleep? I mean, it seems like so many people are struggling with sleep right now with just the stress of the unknown. It's just a common theme right now. But studies have found that women ages 50 to 75 who took 1 hour morning walks were more likely to relieve insomnia than women who didn't walk. So it can help with sleep. It can slow down your mental decline. So this one I thought was interesting. So a study of 6,000 women ages 65 and older performed by researchers of the University of California, San Francisco, found that age-related memory decline was lower in those who walked more. So women walking 2.5 miles per day had a 17% decline in memory as opposed to a 25% decline in women who walked less than 0.5 mile per week. So walking helps with so many different areas that at the very least, get out and walk. It lowers Alzheimer's risk. A study from the University of Virginia Health found that men between the ages of 71 and 93 who walked more than 1/4 mile per day had half the incidence of dementia and Alzheimer's disease than those who walked less. So just, it definitely allows you to do more. And I think there's all those reasons I just listed. Walking is such a great, great exercise and very accessible right now for most of us. So I hope this was helpful in terms of figuring out why you might be having knee pain during COVID, what you can do about it, and somewhat of an advocate for Get to Steppin', which brings me back to that third group I talked about that's having knee pain, the sedentary group, people that are having to work from home and also manage kids at home. It may be really hard to figure out when to get your exercise in. And that one, I don't know if you can do trade-offs with some other people. If they have kids and you have kids and your kids are already getting together, I know lots of families are doing smaller pods to minimize the interaction of, you know, large groups and transmission of COVID. But finding a way to get your walking and exercise in is so key right now, because the stress that we're all under and continue to be under going forward, finding a way to keep moving, establish some sort of schedule and block that time and protect that time is only to your benefit. You know, just like when you get on an airplane and they say, you know, should something happen and those air things drop down to put your own mask on before assisting somebody else. We really do need to take care of ourselves as much as we can so that we can be helpful to those around us and in better shape and condition to help our own family and friends and be the best version of ourselves. So I hope this was encouraging. And if you're having trouble with knee pain, hopefully those tips you'll find useful. And if you need us, we are seeing patients in clinic. We're spreading people far out in the clinic. It is not crowded. And we have access to extra space across the hall. And we have all of the therapists wearing face masks and face shields. And we're washing hands, having everybody, when they get there, get their temperature checked and wash hands. And so we are very much aware of keeping everybody safe if they're coming into our clinic. And if they'd rather have telehealth, we've certainly been able to help a lot of people via telehealth as well. So there are many options for you so that you can keep moving and stay active and enjoy the beautiful South Sound that we have. One of my favorite places to go is Mount Rainier at this time of year. And we are planning to go in the next couple weeks for a hike up there. There's so many to choose from. You can definitely pick ones that are less popular as well to get away from crowds. But definitely take advantage of this time this summer and get out and enjoy our parks with social distance and get outside and get fresh air. So please reach out to us if you have any concerns about your knee pain, and we're happy to help you. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, brought to you by Penrose and Associates Physical Therapy. If you want some free tips to implement right away on various problems like knee pain, back pain, running injuries, and many more issues, then jump on over to penrosept.com and download the free report that fits your needs. You will receive helpful tips right away and have the choice to email in for further questions and set up a free phone consultation. You can reach us at 360-456-1444 and info@penrosept.com. You can stay connected with us at stayhealthysouthsound.com and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast.